All right, I'm excited for tonight. You excited to be here? All right, that was the weakest I think I've ever heard you guys. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's all right. Be the only one excited to be here, but I'm excited to be here. If I've not had the chance to meet you before, my name is Ethan, or if you forgot who I am, I'm glad to meet you right now, but I'd love the chance to get to meet you maybe afterwards tonight. I got to hear from several of you last week as we started this conversation and this series out that we're lasting for the next 4 weeks now here together, and this series is one I told you a couple weeks ago. I've been thinking, planning, trying to get my head around when would be the right time to do this series for about 2 years now, and so I am fired up about this one. I just want you to know that. And I want you to know, I'd love to hear from you throughout this series. So I know this is old school, but this is maybe one of the best ways to communicate with me. If you have questions about this series, if you're like, man, I'm wrestling with this, or man, God's working in my heart in this way, and I just would love to like be able to share that with somebody, man, I'd love to hear from you. I just threw up my email up there, all right? I'd love the chance to hear from you throughout this series. And so it's etaylor@graceohio.org. I know several of you talked to me last week. I got some texts and different things like that, but I would love the chance to hear from you, because throughout the series, what I want to do is I simply want to have an honest conversation with the guys, and I want to have an honest conversation with the gals. And tonight, we're actually jumping in to an honest, real conversation with the guys tonight. And so gals, I don't want you to tune that out. I want you to stay with me all the way through tonight. But I challenge you this, to invite a friend. I challenge you, keep inviting friends to come throughout this time. There's an old proverb that says this, the best time to plant a tree. Do you know the best time to plant a tree? It was 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago was the best time to plant a tree. The second best time to plant a tree is right now. And here's what I told you last week, and I want you to know this week, that you guys are, a lot of you in your early 20s, maybe late teens, kind of getting ready to move into your 20s. And here's what I'll tell you. Right now, you are planting seeds that will grow for the rest of your life. You're planting seeds now that will grow for the rest of your life. This is why when people in their 40s have like super successful, they're not an overnight success. What happens is they started small, planted seeds in their 20s, and it blossomed and blew up into something bigger in their 40s. That's also why when people blow up their lives in their 40s, it didn't just happen out of nowhere. It was stuff they didn't deal with in their 20s. And so why in the world would we do a series like this? Well, I want to somehow give you vision as men and women to like plant the tree. The best time to plant a tree is right now. We said this last week. We said gender is rooted in creation and it's redeemed at the cross. So that is the overarching point that I want you to get throughout this entire series. So every time we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? We're going to look at the creation story and we're going to look to the cross. We're going to look to Jesus himself. Many people spend their 20s accumulating regrets all throughout, and I would challenge you differently. We said this, that design points to your destiny. The cross allows us to live out your calling, and you were made on purpose for a purpose. I want you to hear me say that. You are made on purpose for a purpose. And I said this last week, and I just want to be as tender as I can, but as clear as I can be, that you and your body was made very intentionally by God. It was. Like, he's not surprised the way that he made you. And neither should you. So you can fight that. You can try and push against that. You can try and break out of that. You can be frustrated by it. Some of you are very frustrated with your bodies in different ways, and I get it, right? But God made you on purpose for a purpose. And when you and I step into our purpose, everything flourishes around us. But when you and I skirt our purpose, everything seems to burn. I heard somebody say this. They said, you want to change the world? What you got to do is you got to change a country. If you want to change a country, you got to change a state. If you want to change a state, you got to change a neighborhood. If you want to change a neighborhood, you got to change a family. And if you want to change a family, you got to change a man. And so what I want to do is I want to talk 2 weeks to the men, And here's what I know. I listened to enough talks like this that when we talk to women, like if you've ever been to a women's talk or like a women's retreat or something like that, the women, what they do is they get encouraged, they get built up, they get, it just kind of fills your heart and blesses your sweet little soul, right? And I hope to do some of that, right? But guys, when they go to an event, they just get blasted, right? They get lit up, like, come on, be men, right? And that's rarely helpful. And so tonight, I do not want to blast you guys, okay? As men in here, I just want you to know that because, one, I'm a man, okay? I don't want to get blasted with you, all right? But I do want us to be honest. I don't want to beat you up. I want to build you up somehow. And I don't want you to confuse feelings of guilt with feelings of conviction. Okay? It's okay for conviction to set in. Guilt isn't all that helpful. And so the danger for men a lot of times in our world today is this, that we don't live into the vision that God has for us. Men, it's so easy, and you see it all over the place. Men check out all the time. It's easy for us to do. We check out. We are highly individualistic as people. God created us to be like highly individualistic. Men will exit community and relationships all the time. Just some things. I did some just quick studies on this. 80% of suicides are done by young men. 1 in 5 men say they have no close friends, right? No close friends. Men will check out. Men are highly individualistic, and they'll kind of, in another way, they'll be selfish and they'll be lonely, and they have no time, or they'll exit community, and oftentimes they'll escape into fantasies. They'll escape into a fantasy, and maybe that's you tonight. And what I mean simply by that is men will play different things, right? They'll do video games, which gives you this false sense of accomplishment after beating this level, this level, this level. And again, I just was curious about this. 18 to 24-year-olds play 2 hours a day of video games. That's 16 hours a week. And I want you to know this. Teen boys, on average, play 15 hours. We're doing worse than the teenagers, man. We're doing worse than the teenagers. Like, that's crazy to me. But video games give you this false sense of accomplishment. It's this fantasy that we escape into. Many men don't escape into the fantasy of video games. They escape into a fantasy of porn, which gives you this false sense of intimacy, right? This we consume pornography. And what it does when you consume pornography for long periods of time, what it does is it reduces your gray matter in your brain. And I don't know, I just read this online, right? That when it reduces the gray matter in your brain, it actually reduces your ability to make good decisions and have motivation, right? And some of you men know what I'm talking about because that's exactly how you felt at different times in viewing, right? That it reduces my motivation, it reduces my decision-making. I don't know how to make. So men who don't know what it means to be a man, what they do is they usually get angry or aggressive. Or men who don't know what it means to be a man, they get apathetic or passive. And what happens, the reason this is so critical and so important and something we need to talk about, is because when men aren't men, they hurt women and they hurt children. Sometimes not intentionally. But when men don't step into what it means to be a man, they hurt women and children. You know this because you've seen the fatherhood epidemic in men in our world today. 50% of Americans think it's totally acceptable for a man to stay at home while their wife goes out and works for them. The absent fathers have a huge impact on society. 1 in 4 children in America are without a father today. 1 in 4. That's 18 to 19 million kids that will grow up without daddy in their home. But when dad's not in the home, the National Father Initiative says this, it affects several things for kids. It affects their education, their mental health, relationships for stability. It affects their success in the labor force. It affects their chances for teenage pregnancies to rise dramatically when dads are not in their home. Teens will usually have a severe drug or alcohol problem that increases 75% when fathers are not in the home. And 85% of teens that are in prison today don't have a dad in their life. Like, dads play a massive role. Some of you grew up without a dad, and if that's you, man, I'm sorry. That's why I think we need to talk about this, because it has dramatic impact. And so what happens? We said this last week that a lot of times men, they're just confused. They're like, I don't know what it means to be a man, and I've never had anybody tell me what it means to be a man. So what I do is scratch my head and I look to all the pictures. And when I look to all the pictures, I see the different kinds of men. Maybe it means to take apart an engine, to skin a deer, to bench 300 pounds. Maybe that's what it means to be a man, right? We're like, well, there's a lot of men who can do that, that I would tell you are insecure boys that can shave, that aren't actually men. A man is not a man when he hates everything about what women hate. Do you know what I mean? Or what women love. A man's not a man just because he hates what women love. Right? Which I think sometimes we're like, oh, you know what? I'm a man, so I'm going to make sure I separate myself as far as away as I can from like candles, scents, clothes, books, tea, whatever it is. I'm going to just go over here. I'm going to like dirt under my fingernails. I'm going to get sports, black coffee, because I ain't taking it with cream. Like that must be what it means to be a man. And you're like, okay, masculinity is not defined by the opposite of femininity. Masculinity, get this, I want you to hear it, is defined by the opposite of childhood. The opposite of a man is a boy. Not a woman. The opposite is a boy. There's a psychologist call this Peter Pan syndrome right now. That there's many young men that just don't want to grow up. They want to act like Peter Pan. They want to escape and avoid commitment, responsibility, and so they can grow up as a forever boy. And I want you to know, I'm just really concerned about this. I really am. I think there's lots of men that even our world today like stretches and encourages young guys to like, just stay young, just enjoy your 20s, just live it up. And I'm like, where are the men? And so I'm hoping that tonight we can just ask the question, when does a boy grow up to become a man? When does a boy grow up to become a man? John Steinbeck, he's an author, American author. He says this, a boy gets to be a man when a man is needed. A boy gets to be a man when a man is needed. The biblical picture of manhood, I just want you to know some guys that are in the Bible, like there's warriors in the Bible, there's poets in the Bible, there's men who are fishermen, and there's men who are lute players, which is like the flutes, right? There's men who are white-collar doctors and cooks, and there's men, if you read throughout the scriptures, that are blue-collar farmers and shepherds. And what I love about the Bible is it gives you more than just a picture of what it means to be a man. It gives you this path to somehow follow. We're looking at Genesis 2. Genesis 2, I want us to read in verse 7. We'll just kind of make some sense of this. We got three kind of points for tonight. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the garden, grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't miss this next part. It's easy to skip over, but I want you to see it. Verse 10, it says, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The first name was Pishon. It winds through the entire lands of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold in that land is good. Aromic, resin, oxen are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Why in the world do I not want you to miss that? It just sounded like a bunch of names and rivers. What I want you to know is God, when he decides to make a man, he drops him in the most beautiful, creative, adventure-like story that you could imagine. Like, it's beautiful. And then watch what he tells the man. He says, then the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it, to tend and to watch over, the NLT says. Another translation says to cultivate it and to guard it, to work it and to keep it. I really want you to see this because I think it'll make some sense to us. The Gen Z Bible says it this way. Then God, took the homie and dropped him in the Garden of Eden to work on that greenery and keep it in check. That homie being Adam. You know what I'm saying? All right, you know what I'm saying. Men, what in the world, why in the world do I share this with you? Men, first thing I want you to know, men are made to be responsible gardeners. They're made to be responsible gardeners. God, from the beginning, placed the man into this incredible place, and he gave them this high responsibility, not to manage some cute little garden where you can grow some tomatoes or something like that. He's like, manage the entire world. This is a gardening project on a global scale that I want you to see what is good out there, but I want you to see all the goodness that God has made, and I want you to move out into the world, and I want you to take the raw resources of this good world, and I want you to make it better. So the reason you are on earth is to somehow take what's good here and make it better. That you have a responsibility. Men were made to work. Genesis 2 comes before Genesis 3. I know that's really hard to get your head around, but Genesis 3 is when sin enters the world, and God made work before sin ever entered. And so, is work a good thing? Yes or no? Yes. Men were made to work. They were made to work. That work came before the fall. Work is not a bad thing. It's meant to be meaningful. And honestly, it's meant to be hard. You know what's amazing to me? It's amazing how many guys work really, really hard to make sure they don't have to work. Right? There's a lot of guys that work really, really hard. Like, man, if I can just get my 20s and 30s and make this X amount of dollars, then what I can do is I can just kind of coast the rest of my life. You were not designed to coast. Retirement is never mentioned in the Bible, just so you know. I'm not saying retirement's a bad thing, but if that's what you're chasing, man will be so disappointed. And I also want you to hear me say this. I'm not saying women should not or can't work, okay? But God designed men in a unique way. They were designed to work and to work hard. They were called to be responsible for the garden. Men worked less during COVID. Some of you are in high school or maybe even middle school. I don't know. But COVID, we all worked a lot less. We didn't work more. We were all panicked more, but we didn't work more. And you know what happened? When you work less, you get depressed. And some of you have been in seasons where you don't have a job and you're like, yeah, I know that feeling, right? You work less as a man and you get depressed. Work is meant to be meaningful. It's meant to have to work hard. When a man doesn't work, he usually escapes into sin. So, as men, I just want to ask you a question. What's your gardening project? What are you working at? What are you working hard at? That doesn't mean just a job, a J-O-B. That's a really, really good start, okay? But some of you need to start thinking, man, how am I looking at the world that I live in? And how, as a result, is it better because I'm here? How am I making this world better? This little slice of dirt, this little place that I have been put on. I heard a guy say this. I'm not sure I agree with it, but if it works for you, men are like trucks. They drive straighter with a load. You can think about that later. All right. When a man starts to work, he starts working. Okay. Now listen. Okay. That sounded like I just repeated the same thing. I didn't. When a man starts to work, he's a working man. He's like doing what he was designed to do. That's what I want you to know. Men were called to be responsible, to cultivate, to care, to tend, to keep it. Men want to work. Boys want to play. Men aspire to responsibility. Boys avoid responsibility at all costs. Men want to take on a challenge for what is right. Boys run from a challenge and do what's easy. Men desire the best for others. Boys desire only for themselves. Men contribute to the world around them. Boys take from the world around them. Men carry the weight of responsibility. Boys shift it or throw responsibility onto somebody else, usually their mom. Okay? Men is what we're called to be. There's World War II. There's this guy named Viktor Frankl. He was a psychologist, fascinating book, this man's search for meaning. But he was in a concentration camp, pretty harsh conditions with a lot of men. And he says this about those conditions. He said, it did not really matter what we expected from life, but rather what life expected from us. We needed to stop thinking, we needed to stop asking about the meaning of life and instead to think of ourselves as those who are being questioned by life daily and hourly. Let me just make sense of what he's saying. I think that is such gold that boys ask, what can I get out of this life? Men ask, what can I give to this life? Boys will ask, what can I expect from this life? Men will ask, what does life expect out of me? Why am I here? What do I need to do to help this world around you, or around me? God creates then the first woman, Eve, and places her in the garden with Adam. And I don't want you to get lost in this, okay, ladies? We'll come back, I promise, all right? But this Genesis 2, verse 16 says this, "Then the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from him, you will certainly die.'" Now, I love this because God's like, any tree you can eat from. What about that one, Lord? Yep, that's good. What about that one? Yep, good. That one, good. That one, good. Good, good. No, you're so unfair, right? Like, that's every kid that feels like that, right? Like, you can have anything you want, just no sweets until after dinner, right? You're like, gah, come on, right? And so what happens? Eve strikes up this conversation with a serpent in the garden. Don't get lost in that. But she's having this conversation. God told her not to eat from this tree. And so God told the man not to eat from this tree. So Eve's having this conversation. The serpent starts to whisper a few lies to try and tempt her to eat from this tree. And watch what happens in chapter 3, verse 6. "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it." Where's your boy Adam? Like, right? Like, where's he at? He was told not to do this. Like, put a stop to this, right? And watch where your boy Adam is. "She also gave some to her husband, who was with her the whole time, and he ate it. Then both their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God. And as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man." And he says, "Where are you?" Why would God call to the man? Why would God look to the man when it was the woman who first ate? Because men, we learn this, they're supposed to be responsible gardeners. He was irresponsible in that moment. But I think, secondly, what I want you to see is men are made to be sacrificial leaders, made to be sacrificial leaders. The original sin is not that man did something wrong. It was that man did nothing at all. And to be honest with you, that's most of the sins of men today. Sure, there's, if you look in the public sphere, there's lots of men that are doing crazy, stupid, awful things. But most men, it's not that they don't do so, they do something wrong, it's that they do nothing at all. Adam should have been the one to step in between the snake and the serpent, or the snake and the woman, and Adam should have crushed the head of that snake and said, "You're done spreading your lies and whispering to my wife." But many men don't step in when they're needed, usually because their passivity is so sewn into their bones and they have fear that's in their heart. I want to talk to it for a moment, but to lead is not to like dominate. It's not to be domineering. It's not to be aggressive or whatever. To lead is to simply love, that you're compelled by love that you have to do something, that you can't just sit back. Love chooses to pursue and protect. Guys, become a type of man women feel safe with. Become a type of man women feel safe with. There's a lot of men that don't, there's a lot of women that don't feel safe with men. But become a man that when you walk into the room, just because your presence is there, the room just feels safer. I've been in lots of rooms where a guy walks in and instantly that whole room changes, and I'm on my alert. I'm like watching for him. But your job and my job as a godly man is to somehow make the place safer. Just because you're there, it's amazing to me how safe women felt with Jesus. You never see a woman talking to Jesus and she goes, man, I'm just not sure about his motives right now. You don't see him worrying about Jesus as a like regulating his emotional thing. Like you're not like flipping out that he's angry or just apathetically sitting back. Like Jesus was engaged with women. Women weren't concerned about any of the dangers of this world when they were with Jesus. Like when they were with Jesus, they were like, I'm safe. I got to get to this man. Do you remember the woman at the well? The woman at the well, John 4, she goes there and she's had five husbands, five men. Jesus, it's the longest recorded conversation in the Bible with Jesus and a woman. It's the longest conversation, and he has it with a woman at the well. And Jesus just so gently keeps asking her questions, peels back the layers of her heart to get to know her, and speaks to her with honor and dignity, even with the brokenness within. But men become a man that women feel safe with. But men, be willing to make a call when you got to make a call. Be willing to make the call. Eve needed Adam to step in and make a call. Even if she disagreed with him at the moment. And there's times, man. There's times where she could have been like, no, I want to eat the fruit. And he's like, no, we're not doing this. Like, I got to make the call here. Because why? Because I'm a man? No, because I love you. I love you too much not to lead you in this moment. I remember my wife and I, we were getting ready to get married and we were excited. And there was one decision on our wedding that we kept going back and forth with. I had just this strong conviction on it that I was like, man, I just don't feel right about the decision we're leaning towards. And we kept talking about it, kept going back and forth on it. And I kept wanting her input. I kept wanting her wisdom on it. And I'm like, I just don't feel good about the way you're leaning. Not that it's a bad way. It's just, I just don't feel right about it. And I finally remember we were driving this back road, and we brought up the conversation again. We'd had it already at 10 times at this point. And I'm like, all right, here we go. And she looked at me while I was driving and she said, Ethan, I trust you. What do you want to do? I was like, I'm a man, like, right? Like that moment right there, you trust me enough to make the decision? Even if you disagree with me? Like, you want me to make the final call? Make the call, Ethan. I'm like, okay, I'll make the call. Make the call. It wasn't me trying to be domineering at all. It was, I don't have to make every call. Sometimes I just have to make the final call. That your job as a man is, you don't have to rush it. You don't have to be afraid of making the call. But last thing, men, be a man that women feel safe around. Don't be afraid to make a call. And can I tell you this? I heard this from a guy, Matt Chandler, pastor down in Texas. He said this: men will take the fall so the girl can go free. Men will take the fall so the girl can go free. If nothing else, Adam should have stepped in there and been like, I'll let the snake bite me before I'm letting it get to my wife. Like, if I can't kill the snake, I'll let it take me out before. Because men go down so the girl can go free. In 2012, The Dark Knight Rises was opening night. It was happening. And there was this mass shooting almost 13 years ago on opening night. 12 people died, 58 people were injured, but three young men made national news. Do you know why? Because when they heard the gunshots, they threw their girlfriends down. They were young guys in their 20s. They threw them down and they got on top of them and they were killed. And their faces, I just want you to see this. It was literally 13 years ago. And these guys, over national news, were celebrated all over the place. So I know it feels like, well, men, do they really need to be sacrificed? Women can fend for themselves. And I'm not saying you can't. But I've seen other articles. I was looking at some. You can go check them out. I'm not going to blast any of these guys. But I saw one tourist, and this dude got blasted all over online because in the video, he lets his wife take on this attacker who's got a knife, and he's off in a corner, right? That there's something inside of us that as men, we know if a girl can go free, then we're the ones to go down. Men can take a hit so the girl can walk away. See, men, I think, are willing to die for women. But I want you to hear me say this, okay? Men are also willing to live for women. You hear me on that? It's not just dying for her. It's like living for her. That a man will sacrifice sleep for the sake of his wife. A man will sacrifice his hobbies for the sake of women. Men will sacrifice their money. Men will sacrifice their time. Men will sacrifice their efforts. Boys expected to be served by their mommy. Men choose to serve the women around them. When men refuse to lead or are scared to lead or sit back, I just want you to know Satan is happy to step in there for you. And Satan will lead. And to be honest with you, I think that's what we've seen a lot of. Genesis 3 continues. Have you eaten? This is God asking man, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Man said, this woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Can I tell you, men are willing to fess up when they mess up. Boys will play the blame game. Men want to give more. Boys want to take more. Men will selflessly serve. Boys will selfishly expect more from others. Men will humbly stoop down, and boys will feel entitled. Men make the world safer. Boys make the world more chaotic. Men lead. Boys are just bossy. Men speak up and show the way. Boys scream to somehow get their way. Men love women. Boys will use women. Titus says this. He says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. I feel like I need to say this. Men can control themselves. Boys lose control of themselves. Men can control their anger. Boys will throw temper tantrums. Men know how to say no to their desires. Boys will whine to the women around them to get their desires. A boy will make a mess and expect others to clean up after him. A man seeks to make it better. Last thing I want you to hear for the guys, and then tonight I really want to just try something uniquely. Men, last thing, are made to be spiritual guardians. Made to be spiritual guardians. Every gift that God gives to men, they are responsible to guard. Your mind is a gift. The garden was a gift. Your room, your body, your heart, your home, your faith, your family, your friends, your church, your city, your culture. It is a gift that you were called to guard. And here's the problem. Many of us don't think about what comes in and out of the things we were charged to guard. So when it comes to our mind, when it comes to our heart, we don't think about it. There's 28,000 hours of digital content consumed a year by a person, but only 153 hours of those are Christian content. That's not me just trying to be like, listen to some more Forrest Frank or whatever, you know, like that. That's me saying this. What do you think? Do you think you're guarding well? Do you think you're guarding well? You're called to guard, to protect what God has given you. And man, I love you. And Again, this was not designed to beat you up, but to build you up. But if God has given you anything as a gift, you're to guard it. So if you have a girlfriend, if you have a wife, your job is to guard. How? Can I tell you this? God gave an order for things. Like, did you see the order in all of that? He said, men, get a job. Start there. Then men, what happens next? Leave home. Start there, right? Then what happens? Find a wife, okay? Have sex, have kids, right? Do you see the order of that? Like, God kind of laid that out there for us. And I want you to know this. That's not just like me being like, oh, it's the Bible says so, right? Do you know, like, when there's so many studies you can look at, that when men do this, like in that order, it's like mind-boggling to like psychologists. They're like, it like people thrive, like families thrive. Like when we do, who thought that when God ordered the world that he gave us something that would make us to thrive? But often we try and take control. And so if you're sitting there and you're like sleeping with your girlfriend right now and feeling a little uncomfortable, I get it. And you might go home and go, babe, he's not talking about us. We're married in our hearts, right? And I just want you to know this, like, I'm talking to you, I guess. Gals, if he's asking you to give all of his body, but is not willing to give you all of his life, you should run. You should run. And I also want you to know this. God is so gracious. He is so gracious. And so, guys, I want to be tender. He's calling you up. He's calling you up tonight. He's calling you up to be a guard. And I just want to see, maybe you've left your post and you've stopped guarding. So how are you doing at taking care of what God told you to take care of, men? How are you doing at that? I think that's a great question to reflect on. And if I can kind of land simply here, I'm going to invite Summer up. She's going to underscore here in a moment. We're going to try something a little different tonight. But guys, if I could say this, you'll be a decade ahead of like other men if you would simply like read your Bible, get up a little earlier, read your Bible, pray, go to a job, work really hard, and like treat people with kindness and respect. You'll be a decade ahead of other men in our world, right? It's not like, I know it sounds so hard and I just made it sound so simple, but it is so hard. And you want to know why it's so hard to be a man in our world that follows God? Is because the world's against you. You have an enemy, Satan, who is against you. And you are sometimes against you. You know what I mean? Because there's sometimes these desires in you that, man, it just feels easier to go to the video game. Just feels easier to watch a little bit of porn. It just feels easier to give up. And here's what I want you to know. You men need a power that is outside of you to work inside of you, to somehow transform you. That's what you need. That's what I need. That if you're like, man, I just don't know if I can ever match up to that. I don't know if I can ever live up to what it is that you're kind of painted there. You can't. You need a power that is outside of you to work inside of you. That's why we look to Jesus. Jesus was a man. He was the man who came to us as God in the flesh and showed us what it meant to be a man. He took on all responsibility. He went to work for your behalf. He went to work for my behalf. He sacrificially led by going to the cross. He spiritually guarded what we could never do. And so to stand up and somehow be a man and to be everything that God made you to be, you first can't stand up and be a man the way that God called you to be until first you take a knee to the King of Kings, to the God-man himself, and go, God, I somehow need you. I'm going to invite the guys up here in a moment, but I want you to read this in Philippians 2. It says this, in your relationships with one another, can I just say it this way? Men, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He never played the God card. He never said, you know what? I'm God. I get to do it this way. Rather, he made himself nothing. Became a sacrificial leader by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being formed in an appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at every name, Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's it. We're done. Here's what I want you to do. Tonight, I want to give a chance. Some of you men, you felt like God was just like burning in your heart and you're not sure what to do with that. Tonight, I want to give you a chance to respond. And if this isn't you tonight, don't feel like, man, my goal isn't to make you uncomfortable too much. I think a little uncomfortability is okay. Because honestly, for Adam, he was real comfortable sitting back. But I just want to invite you, if you're a man and you're like, God's been speaking to me tonight, and I just feel like I need to come and get on my knees. I want to take a minute and I just want to pray for the men in here that want to bend a knee. So if that's you tonight, I just want to invite you to come on up, join me up here. Okay. I'm going to be up here with you. But for you tonight, it just means you're like, Lord, I need you. I need a power outside of me to work inside of me. And maybe for you guys, maybe for you guys tonight, God wants you to take a knee somehow to do something different in your life. We're going to close in a minute with a song, but I want to just give you a minute. The men in here, I just want to ask you, have you left your post? Maybe just take a minute in the quietness of your heart and say, God, I've left. I'm sorry. God is so gracious with us. I want you to know that. Father, thank you for my brothers. We want to take a knee. Because we don't want to stand up in pride and go, this is what it means to be a man. We want to look to the one who was the man, Jesus Christ. And we know that one day we'll spend eternity honoring, celebrating, praising, raising our hands, getting on our faces, just like in this moment, just lifting up the name of Jesus. But God, right now you've given us a mission. You called us to be responsible gardeners. Some of us in here, we've just been irresponsible, and we need you to break the chains of video games on our heart. We need you to break the chains of pornography in our lives. We need you, Lord, to break the chains of passivity that we just want to sit back and not stay engaged. We need you, Lord, to break the chains of us wanting to use women rather than to love women. We need you to break the chains of boyhood and call us up into what it means to be a man. And God, I'm asking that you would do that in this space tonight. Us on our knees just going, God, we need you as men. So, Father, we're asking for a power outside of us that could work inside of us to call us from being boys no longer, but into men. Jesus, I pray this moment would kind of just mark us in weeks. And I pray this, Lord, make it years. That as we think the best time to plant a tree is right now, it's going to impact the next 20, 30, 40 years. So, Lord, I pray that you would just see our hearts honest before you on our knees, asking for help. Lord, we know that you can. I trust that you will. And I just want to say we love you. God, I pray in this room that we would see the other brothers around us and that we would realize how much we need each other. And so, God, I pray that you use tonight in our conversations, in our group times. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you guys. I appreciate your faith to just willingly come on up here. And I'm going to invite you to take a seat because we're going to sing together in a moment. But my hope is this. My hope is simply this, guys. That wouldn't just have been a weird moment. But my honest prayer has been that would change the trajectory of some of your lives for the better. And not because we just got on our knees and just had a moment, but because God made a stake in the ground and said, you know what, enough's enough. It's time for me to grow up. And so we're going to sing together. And I know this. I know men, if there's anything they love more, it's singing, right? But here's what I'll say. Sometimes I just need to cry out to God and go, there's nothing else. I need you. I need you. There's a power outside. God himself, the Spirit of God, wants to work inside. And so we just respond in worship, right? So I want to invite you to stand and we'll kind of respond here together.